What happened, friends? How did it go so quickly from hosannas and palm branches being waved to demands for his death and the pounding of nails into a wooden cross? As Christians, we've sought to make sense of the crucifixion for generations, and folks come to Jesus' passion narrative with a variety of beliefs attempting to understand what God was up to in this scandalous and awful event. For some folks, it helps them, or it makes most sense to see this as something that God needed to do, either to satisfy God's great wrath against the sin in this world with this blood sacrifice of an innocent lamb, or as some kind of ransom to pay the devil his due and retrieve humanity from the clutches of Satan. Some choose to believe that Jesus permitted his death on the cross, not out of some cosmic necessity, but rather as a sign of God's love, to show the extent to which God is willing to go for us. Some folks focus instead on the community forces at play, looking at the Roman state, highlighting how Jesus' ministry was fine up until the point when he started flipping tables and disrupting the flow of wealth, or looking at the religious leaders or the crowds, highlighting the disappointment that was found when Jesus turned out to not be the Christ, the Messiah that they had hoped for, happy to trade away this disappointment for a condemned insurrectionist and murderer. Others shift the focus away from the cosmic or the communal, much more to the personal, to the individual, that Jesus was crucified because I sinned. Because of the sins that I have in my life and myself, Jesus had to suffer death on a cross. And I can remember very pointedly one summer at camp, we were building a cross to go behind a fire pit, and the counselor invited each of us campers to take a turn with the hammer, driving the nails into the wood, and asked us to reflect on how essentially that's what we're doing every time we sin, is bringing that hammer home against the nail again and again. In the midst of all of the different ways that we try to make sense of what is going on in the cross, all of the different assumptions that we bring to bear amidst this part of Jesus' story, Luke reminds us that Jesus did not deserve to die. I find no basis for the charge against this man. Neither is Herod. He has done nothing to deserve death. I have found in him no grounds for the death penalty. We are punished justly, but this man has done nothing wrong. Surely, this was an innocent man. Whatever we believe was taking place in Christ's death on the cross, Luke wants us to know that Jesus' death was not about him getting what he deserved. It wasn't fair. It doesn't seem right. And yet, as believers, our hope rests on the unfairness of God. We place our faith in the belief that God does not hand out rewards or punishments based on what our deeds deserve, as our human sense of justice might demand, but that instead, somehow through this awful death of an innocent Christ, that the grace of God is poured out daily for each of us, in spite of what we deserve. Thanks be to God.